Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We love Him. We love Him and we worship Him. Come on, put your hands together like this.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Good morning. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds. We give glory, oh, to the Lord on this morning, and we worship you, O God, for you are worthy to be praised. I am your host, Evangelist Benson, coming to you on this Super Sunday morning. Give God some glory for just allowing God to wake us up on this morning, for clothing us in our right mind, for giving us strength and power. Hallelujah. We thank God, and we worship you on this morning, Mr. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for tuning in to Victory Against All Odds. We come to you, O God, with the joy and the and all the strength of God on this morning. We thank God that he allowed us to wake this morning, that he protected us and he watched over us as we slumbered and we slept, and that we wake this morning full of vibrant, that we're renewed in our strength, renewed in our mind. We have renewed favor, renewed blessings on this morning. We thank God and we give him all the glory, and we certainly do worship you on this morning, Mr. Jesus. Thank you for tuning in, coming to you this morning on the 28th day of the 12th month. And we give God glory as we come this morning. We just want to give a word on this morning in reference to as we prepare to walk over and cross over into 2015. We want to make sure that we're going over this Jordan together. So we're going to make sure that we're walking together in love and unity as we cross over to a new year, that we make sure that everything that's on this side is make sure that we are aligned correctly according to the word of God, that we're walking in unity, that we're walking in love, which is what God requires. So in this morning, I'm not going to be hasting too long. We want to make sure that everyone prepares to get into the set place so you can bring forth, birth forth that which you have carried. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we don't want to allow the enemy or anything else to cause us to abort our assignment, our dreams, and or our purpose as we draw near to the coming of Christ. So we're going to go to the word this morning. In the book of Corinthians, Paul addresses the struggling church of Corinth, where the people had begun to live a lifestyle that was contrary to that which was taught. Hallelujah. The people began to participate in lawless practices of immorality, lawsuits, operate in the spirit of deception, carry out questionable practices, they worshiped idols, and so forth and so on. So upon hearing such news, Paul began to speak to the concerns of the believers regarding the behavior and the struggling of the Corinthians. Church. So Paul reminded them that he wished that they speak the same things and that there be no division among them. So Paul goes on to tell them that they are to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Hallelujah. So as we go to the Word of God on this morning, we're going to go to, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the first chapter of Corinthians and the second, 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 12 through 15. And let me get there myself. And it says, and it reads, "But he is that is spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man." I'm sorry, let me back up to verse 12. I'm sorry. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Verse 13 says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. and 15 says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Hallelujah. So here we see Paul is reminding the people to stay unified in all that they do and say, and be on one accord in all their ways, so not to bring confusion among the people. So when if we go over into chapter 13 of that same book, so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, Paul addresses the church again. So Paul will be our witness on today. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of the angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and of tingling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits and nothing. It profits me nothing. Verse 4 says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity voweth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bearing all things, believing all things, hope all things, endure all things. How many of you are willing to endure all things? Charity never fails, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, hallelujah, it says, but when that which is perfect is come, that we only know one thing that is perfect to come, hallelujah, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That which is perfect, that is in part, shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we know through the glass of darkly, but when face to face, now I know in part, but when shall I know even as I am known? Hallelujah. So the NIV version of that is really saying, if I speak in tongues of human beings, of angels, but I don't have love, I am clanging gongs or a clashing cymbal. So you're just speaking noise. Amen. So if I have the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and I have no such complete faith and I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. Hallelujah. And it says, and if I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I have no love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. And so that's what that word is really, really saying there. But we know that God is agape love. So agape love is what God requires of us. Hallelujah. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It's not bragging. It's not ignorant. It isn't rude. It doesn't speak its own advantages. It is not irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaint. I have never heard so many people who go back and reach forth that which was in the past, walking in the spirit of unforgiveness. This thing called I forgive, but I still remember. God said, put away those things. God does not remember our sins. He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. And if we say, women and men of God, that we are in Christ Jesus, then we are to not only forgive, but we're supposed to forget. It was Jesus forget all of our remembers all of our wrongdoing. We're not perfect. But Jesus Christ loved us so much, we're talking about that agape love, that he not only forgives us, but he remembers no more. So then we are standing afresh, anew, and we stand before him not with a black stain in our heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need to make sure that we not only forgive, but we forget. So that when you get mad, you don't remember, you don't start bringing up things that happened in the past when we serve a present and now God. Hallelujah. Love, it isn't happy without injustice, but it's happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, and again, hear that word, endure all things. How many are you are willing to endure? If Christ Jesus endured and went to the cross for us, and we say that we are connected to Christ and we love him and he abides in us and we abide in him, if he abides in us, we are able to endure all things. He has equipped you to endure all things. Praise the Lord. Love never fails. As for prophecy, they are brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. So, again, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. So this is no question of signs that mark this time. We are presently in. Another way to phrase this is to say that we are seeing the manifestation of the mindset of the unrighteous. And if we look around in the now, in the world, we see unrighteousness that rules. Hallelujah. Right now, we see the hearts of those who have no real love, who cause division in the body and out of the body of Christ. We are living in a time where people have no shame of acknowledging Christ. We see the fruits of unrighteousness. Yes, we do. We see division. Yes, we do. We see deception. Yes, we do. We see being unkind and selfish. We see the signs of being pious and proud, bold and ignorant of the presence of God in the earth realm. We see that right now. Look around. Look at the division. Look at the fighting. Look at the war. Look at the rumors. Look in the church. Hallelujah. Look in the church. You've got apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and preachers falling out. Nobody can love. Nobody can stay under one roof. No one can get along. What in the world is that? And we, as my aunt would say, and you call yourself a Christian. That is not the will of God. That is not the instruction of God. Hallelujah. I come this evening to bid you to take a closer look at the present now. Using a magnifying glass, we see the secret powers of lawlessness. Yes, we do. If you're really looking closely, you see the powers of lawlessness all around, in the body and out. Already at work, we see this. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so. He is taken away. That is in 2 Thessalonians, hallelujah. And the lawless one will be revealed. So all the things, the secret sins, those that are thinking that they're getting away and no one sees their secret sin, no one sees the lawlessness, no one sees them not operating in the spirit of integrity, in the body, out the body, in the White House, all the way down to the church house. Hallelujah. Though you think you're getting away and no one sees you, us, you will be found out. The word of God tells us, surely your sins will find you out. So we have mothers and daughters not getting along, fathers and sons who don't get along, husband and wives who don't get along, sisters against sisters fighting and bickering and spirit of jealousy, lying and secret, family secrets, being revealed. All the lies. They shall be revealed, and somebody is responsible for that. Don't let the blood be applied to you. Make sure your sins, our sins, don't find us out because we don't walk in the spirit of love, unity, and the spirit of truth, because that's where truth comes in. Hallelujah. So if we go to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 1, it says, "But now this, that the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And for such people, turn away." Run, run, run as fast as your feet can take you. Run, I say, run. That's what that is really saying. When you see this spirit in operation, women and men of God, people, run. There, nothing good comes from this spirit. If you go to 2 Thessalonians, for the sake of time, the second chapter, Paul addresses the church with deep concern and gives advice to the believers' commitment to Christ. He reminds them to be careful in choosing their friends. Family, we didn't have a choice. Hallelujah. We just don't have a choice about our family. But friends, we have a choice. When you see this spirit, run. Paul tells us to pray for their enemies, to pray for our enemies, and to mind their own business. Stay in your lane. Get your house straight. Don't put the beam in someone else's eye when you have a beam in yours. Hallelujah. Paul hearkens the believers to preserve in works and the service until Christ returns. Diligently work. He urges them not to be idle or stagnant, to compromise their faith, to avoid apathy at all costs. Apathy is, for some that don't know, let me let you know what apathy is. Apathy is a lack of feeling or lack of emotion or interest or concern. It's a state of indifference or suppression of emotions such as motivation, passion, excitement, or concern. I remember being in that state. This is me being transparent. There was a moment in life where I would walk in apathy. I just didn't care. I really just didn't care. I didn't have any joy. I could care less whether, you had a bad day. It just didn't make a difference to me. I didn't have any interest in living. I had a spirit of suicide in my life. So I just did not see the light of day. I just couldn't find it. Everything seemed bloom and gloom, and I just did not care. I didn't have any interest. I stayed in the house. I didn't have any concern about this or that. And Paul is saying, avoid this at all costs. It is detrimental to you. Using your magnifying glass once again. As we look closer, the present now reveals the great falling away. Now, I'm not talking about the believers who have denounced Christ. I ain't talking about that. Okay? And a converting and converted to some other religion. I'm not talking about that. Such as Catholicism or Hinduism or Christian scientists, you've heard of those. We're not talking about that great kind of falling away. I'm not even talking about a mass exodus of believers back into the world. We're not talking about that either. What I am talking about, I am talking about those who are in the body of Christ, in the church, sitting next to you. Those on the deacon board, on the usher board, in the choir, and in the pulpit. I'm talking about those who are seated in positions of leadership. Ouch. Ooh, did I go there? Yes, I did. Those that are in leadership, those who are in positions of authority, having a form of godliness but no power, a form of godliness but no deliverance, a form of godliness but no anointing, a form of godliness but no light. Hallelujah. A form of godliness but no love, a form of godliness but no unity. Hallelujah. A form of godliness but no patience, a form of godliness but no joy. A form of godliness, but no peace. a form of godliness, but no long suffering. Does this sound like fruit to you? Hallelujah. A form of godliness, but no kindness. A form of godliness, but no gentleness. A form of godliness, but no self-control. A form of godliness, but no humility. People of God, where is your fruit? Where's the fruit? Where is the manifested fruit? You say that you that Christ abides in you, that you are a believer, that you are in leadership. You have no fruit. The church has become infected. Infected in our hearts, obsessed with earthly fame and glory, domineering and self-exalted. Was reading a post yesterday or the day before yesterday. What in the world is an arch apostle? Where that at in the Word of God? Yes, I said it just like that. What in the world is a master prophet? That is not the Word of God. People, do not be deceived. It's not in the Word of God. It is not. This spirit has infiltrated the body of Christ in such a way that those in the world can't distinguish the difference. In the book of Leviticus 10:10, the word of the Lord reminds us to put a difference between what is holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. We have been called, we call good evil, and then we call evil good. So let's pull up a witness. I've got about 3 minutes, and we're gonna wrap this up. Mothers against mothers, fathers against sons, parents murdering children, children killing parents, women marrying women, men marrying men. But I come this evening to remind you, as Paul did in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, third verse, it says, not to be deceived in any way. Matthew, for the sake of time, I want you to read Matthew 24. Write this down, verse 4 through 13. I want you to read that in your time. But I want to say this. The lawlessness of men is upon us, and that Christ is soon to come. Here is your warning. Christ is soon to come. It's time to get our houses in order, people of God. It's time to prepare. It's time to align ourselves for the conclusion of the matter, hallelujah, according to the Word of God. Time for us to prepare to push. Pray until something happens. It's time to give birth to that which we have carried so that we can prepare to fulfill our assignment here in the earth realm. Prepare as we prepare to cross over into 2015. Christ is looking for the bride without spot and without wrinkle. Are you ready? Are you ready? You know the song say, are you ready? So are you ready? Hallelujah. Are you prepared? Have you aligned yourselves in the set place so that you can bring forth that which you were created to do? I attempted to bring the message last week. Are you prepared? What is your purpose? And unfortunately, that broadcast somehow or another, it just fell apart. It just fell away. So we are attempting to go again. Now, what I'm going to do is, it looks like I'm going to do in two parts. So as we come to a close of this particular message, because my 30 minutes is truly up and I want to stick to my word, we will come back perhaps maybe next Sunday, and we'll finish part two. And we're going to talk about transformation of time. And so thank you all for tuning in. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. Until next time, may you walk in the unity and the love of Christ that he responds to. God bless you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. 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 He is sovereign. He is. He is sovereign. He is. Thank you, God, for being. sovereign. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help me sing to you. Got everything in control. Every situation, yes, you got. Every problem. Sovereign in our lives. Thank you for being sovereign in our lives. Thank you for being sovereign in our lives. Oh Lord, you know where our feet go. You know where we're headed. You know our destiny. You know our purpose. Thank you for being sovereign over everything, Jesus. Thank you for being.
God bless you.